Do 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 do. You have to imagine that you're in a helicopter right now.
Okay.
And the very be okay. Dude, okay, I'm done. That's it. What's your favorite 80s?
The A-Team.
Is it really?
Absolutely. You know what I just realized when I said that? Is what? Both of our names start with A. The A-Team. Let's change. Forget the hoser side. Just change it to the A-Team.
And you know, we should have spelled it E-H-Team.
Yes. Oh, my God.
The A-Team.
I can't believe that we're only thinking of this now. You know what? There's our coffee mugs for the holiday season.
Pre-orders available now. Hello and welcome to episode 90 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. I almost said Vancouver, but it's wrong. It's Tübingen, Germany. With me, as always, is
Adam in Vancouver, British Columbia.
You're in Vancouver, right? Yes. That makes sense.
Just me.
All right. Welcome to the show, everybody.
Great.
I guess that's what I meant by hello and welcome.
Right. I'm glad to be here, Alan.
We're glad to have you, Adam. Number 90.
Wow.
90. Yeah.
Countdown is on.
It is on, right?
Or the count up.
We haven't talked about it yet, but I've been thinking about it.
The big one.
Count to 93.
98.
Right. Before we get started, I want to remind everybody about Outdoor Photography Canada magazine. This is your last reminder, by the way.
What would you like to remind us of, Alan?
You get 20% off of the subscription price, which is already a discount from the cover price.
Wow, I can't believe you're talking me into this.
You're getting a discount on a discount.
That's double dipping.
That is double dipping. That's exactly what it is, but I think they're okay with it.
Okay.
But the reminder is you only get that until the end of September.
That's it.
That's it. End of September, this deal goes away, so quit messing about. Absolutely limited time. So sign up. Subscribe to it. You will not be sorry.
Okay.
Promo code. When you go to the checkout page, which you can find the link on our website, checkout page, use the promo code OPCHOSERS. That's how you get an extra 20% off.
That's just fun to say.
Yeah. Do it.
Okay.
I don't want to get bossy here, but do it.
Okay.
All right. So what's going on with you?
Same old, same old. I'm just living the life in Vancouver.
Last week's show, not a short one.
No. Sorry about that, everybody. I guess I was a little bit on the talky side.
Right. Well, I don't like to point fingers because, you know, glass house, throwing stones, all that. but there was a reason. Now, our schedule was off. And I'm gonna spoil the ending and say, hey, it's a happy ending. But what happened last week?
My son Jack got sick, and we ended up at the hospital for a few days. You know, he had an asthma, a cold that turned into more of an asthma issue, and then so a few days at the Children's Hospital in Vancouver. And so that definitely threw a wrench into our regular podcasting schedule. So
did you tell Jack that? Listen, Jack, I need you to suck this up because, we got a podcast today.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. No, it was a lot of fun. Not really, but, I got a sleepover in the Children's Hospital out of it. So I guess there's that. We had to sell him on the fact that having a sleepover, it's kind of like a hotel, but without a swimming pool and a bunch of cords you got to be hooked up to. Oh, and PS, you can't move out of that bed.
Right. Right. But other than that, just like a hotel.
Other than that, exactly like a hotel.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you can't see the Space Needle from there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but the reason I bring it up, besides the whole, you know, excuse for us doing a horrible show last week,
right,
was that I noticed you took Jack's picture in the hospital.
I did. I knew there was, at the time that I was taking the picture, I knew that there was, you know, nothing in the way of a life-threatening situation. And I did think that, you know, I just thought I would take a picture, document something he'd look back at maybe, and not, you know, the hospital's not that scary a place kind of thing for a three-year-old picture to look back on. And thought, too, that my wife would likely blog about the experience. And so, you know, I like to have pictures to go along with her blog. So, yeah, so I took a couple of pictures while he was in there.
I do the same thing. That's what I was glad to see it, because I was actually going to mention something to you last week when we were, you know, talking back and forth off the air while this was happening. And I was going to say, you know, hey, when you get a chance, make sure you take a picture, because I tend to actually bring my camera to the hospital when I visit people. And oftentimes it's for, you know, having new babies or something like that. So that's an obvious one.
Yeah.
But in general, I've been known to take people's portraits in their hospital bed, you know, because if it does end up badly, well, you can always delete the picture if you want. Or if it ends up great, which it always has so far, people can look back on it and go, oh, wow, you know, like that really happened. You know, like there is some truth to that moment. And it's, you know, and like it or not, it's a big part of your life going, you know, that experience. And why not have a picture of it?
Yeah. And again, I took the pictures. I took maybe, I don't know, 10 pictures, and I took them all within about a 5-minute span, because at the same time, like, you know, nurses and doctors were coming in and out of his room at a pretty regular interval to check on him. And I didn't want to, you know, have it seem like I was making some sort of light of the situation. Like, I don't know how it looks from the outside, and, oh, hey, Dad's here just kind of yucking it up, taking pictures, like not taking it seriously. And so I did not want that to be the perception. So I did a few quick pictures, and then the camera went away and would never made a return.
Right. No, I do the same. I mean, I try to get my 2 or 3 flashes set up quickly, make sure the lighting ratio is good, and then snap away for at least no more than an hour.
Yeah.
And I'm the same. It's just get in, take a couple quick shots and put it away. You don't want to celebrate the fact, because it might look really odd to people.
Right.
So on the other hand, you now have pictures. Jack will have those pictures, and he'll remember that time. So.
Yep, exactly. So I am glad that I did take the pictures.
So I recommend it, but with discretion to everybody else out there. Yes. Obviously, you know, there's that. I got a wedding coming up.
You do.
I'm not involved. I'm shooting the wedding.
Right.
I'm not getting married. But I had a request, and I wanted to get your opinion on this before I shoot my mouth off.
Okay.
Have you heard of these people do at the weddings, like wedding photographers do these things where they basically start showing the pictures at the wedding?
You mean like they put it up later, like within the same time frame they just shot it, and they're immediately putting them up on like a slideshow or something?
Yes. I'm not sure how it all goes, like if they have an actual presentation at the end of the night, or if they just have like in the corner they have like a slideshow constantly going.
Right.
But it's sort of like I've seen the same thing, you know, with videos. They do like people offer like a same day edit. Well, they'll edit together a lot of the footage from earlier in the day and show it at the reception. But it's a trend with photos, is to basically start showing your photos on like that same day.
Huh.
What do you think?
I don't like that idea.
How come? And I had this request, and I'll skip to the end, and I politely turned them down. I talked them out of it first.
Yeah.
I didn't just turn them down. I would have turned them down. I don't want to be involved in that.
Yeah. I think you want to probably, you know, give them the best, right? And so if you're going to show them that day, at what point are you going to sort through them in order to show them the best, right?
Exactly. That's the other thing, too, is you know, like I'm hired for the day, and then, you know, every hour I spend post, you know, processing, even if it's just selecting the images.
Yeah.
is time I could be shooting.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, so you might be missing a bunch of good pictures because they have you doing editing. I agree.
Yeah.
And I think that I've seen this done more in sort of like seminars, like team building stuff where, you know, the pictures are crap and people are just taking snapshots and who cares if they, you know, because they're not taking 10 pictures of the same thing, right? So,
right.
You know, they could just put up a bunch of pictures and everyone just likes to see the fact that they were in them, right?
Yep.
But at a wedding, I think, you know, you're taking a little bit more time and care to produce really good pictures. And in that case, you're going to have 10 of the same thing. Then you're going to sort through and pull one out. So, yeah.
And I'll pick them at random. And the other thing is I shoot, like, from a technical standpoint, I shoot raw.
Right.
So I can't just give them the raw file.
Right, yeah.
So in order to do that, like I kind of worked this out in my head. Like, okay, what if they insist? I mean, the customer is always right, even right. though they're not. And so I would basically have to shoot, I was going to, you know, shoot raw plus small JPEG.
Yeah.
And therefore, you know, it's going to slow things down a little bit. And then, you know, who would I hire somebody to basically go through the pictures and put them up while I'm shooting the rest of the wedding? You know, and so in the meantime, if they were going to do that and pull just the JPEGs, would I be able to find somebody I trust to not accidentally delete or lose the CF cards during the day?
Right.
And I don't trust anybody, you know, in that situation. Like, I hang onto the cards myself, the end.
Yeah.
You know, and so there was that. And then, you know, I always have this thing, like, I don't show people the back of my LCD screen when I shoot. For this very reason, because I don't want the photos to corrupt the photos I'm taking.
Okay.
And so I basically said to the client, listen, why don't you just enjoy your day, pretend I'm not there, and then you can look back on it. Otherwise, you're going to have pictures of you looking at your pictures of your wedding. It's this weird feedback loop that I don't think is a good thing.
I agree.
He said that, you know, hey, you know, it's a good point. He said even the guests should be there enjoying the day, not looking at our wedding album.
Exactly.
So
you bucked the trend.
I don't know. I was very diplomatic about it, and you know, because I did, you know, I did extol all the virtues of not doing it versus just being a jerk and saying forget it, I'm not doing it. So hopefully that was the case, but. This has sort of been the trend, and I just read a friend of mine's blog post about this sort of trend in social media, how it's doubling back on itself now, and people are sharing things on Twitter while they're doing them, and therefore not enjoying doing them.
Right.
And, you know, and a lot of it becomes a, hey, I'm having more fun than you are right now.
Speaking of trends, my mom sent me an email. This is totally a tangent, but I just wanted to throw this out here because what you were talking about was starting to bore me.
Okay. Yeah.
So I'm gonna say something different that will bore you. Have you seen these pictures, these mooning pictures where people, you know, pose in front of the moon in all sorts of different funny positions?
I have not seen that.
It's very funny, and I thought, hey, there's maybe an upcoming photo challenge. Like, you know, there's a guy, like, you know, posing. He's his silhouette, like almost like he's dribbling the moon as a basketball. Or, you know, people hold up like empty frames with the moon in the middle. Or people come with a big net and they're, you know, they're catching it like a butterfly net with the moon. I thought, hey, this is pretty funny. So all she right. sent me an email that had about, I don't know, 25 or 30 pictures, like some, you know, people posing like they're pregnant with the moon. And yeah, it was kind of funny. So I thought, hey, there's a photo challenge. Goofy moon pictures.
Is anybody mooning the moon?
No, I didn't see that, but maybe that you can use that. Save that one for you.
That's what I'm going to do. Don't, Kate, trademark. Don't use that one.
I won't moon the moon, I promise.
Okay.
Yeah.
Canon released a new camera. The 6D, in between the 5D and the 7D.
Yeah, I heard about it.
Yeah. What'd you hear about it?
I heard it's a bundle of crap.
Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it's like, it's supposed to be like, it's a full frame, right?
Right.
Yeah, it's a full frame for people, I guess they're trying to make the jump from the, you know, like whatever, like the Rebel series up to a full frame, but then they stripped it of all the cross sensors except for one, which, I mean, the latest, whatever it is, the 4TI, which is the one that just came out a few months ago.
I don't know.
Yeah, that was the new kind of higher end, I guess, entry level before you get to the, what is it, the 7D?
Right.
And that one had all the autofocus points were all cross sensors, and then now you're gonna, you know, bump it up. And this camera isn't this new one like $2,000?
Yeah, I think the manufacturer price is $2,100 or something like that.
Yeah, $2,100, and then you're gonna put one cross type sensor. I don't know. To me, it just didn't make sense. And again, at that price, why aren't you just buying the 5D Mark II now, which you can find for in and around the same price, right?
That's the confusing part to me. I mean, I suppose they're going to go away, the Mark IIs eventually. But that was my immediate thing is they said, okay, we want to make this an affordable full frame camera. And then make it $2,100, which I was not afford.
Yeah.
For the photo enthusiast was what I heard.
Yeah.
And like you have to be really enthusiastic to spend that kind of money on a camera body.
Yeah.
Nowadays, so I didn't hear it was a big bag of crap, but I didn't understand the market for it.
Right. And I'm probably overstating that. I was just thinking like in terms of bang for your buck, I'm not buying that.
And I check out the video stuff as well, and it just all it said was it shoots at 29.97 frames per second. That's it. I don't know if you can add a 24 frames option, and which kind of important.
Yeah.
Like for me, that's actually one of the main things that when the 5D Mark II first came out, it shot video. It only shot 30 frames per second, not even 29.97, which means probably very little to you.
It means nothing to me.
It's a very big deal to video people. 30 frames per second isn't a thing. Okay. Nobody shoots at 30 frames per second in the real world. It will shoot 29.97, which they call drop frame, or it'll shoot 24 frames, which isn't even 24 frames either, but that's not important. When the first iteration came out, it would not only shoot 30, and that was a big stumbling block for everybody. So they fixed it. So anyway, so I don't know. I don't know about the Canon 6D. I don't see it being for me. So
I don't see it being for anybody. I mean, I'm certain someone's going to buy it. Hopefully that guy's not listening to our podcast right now and writing us some hate mail. But
I welcome
again,
it.
I just don't see the market. Like make it $1,200 and there's a market for it. But at $2,000. Right. Again, I think most people at that point know enough to say, I'm buying the 5D Mark II because essentially the cost is the same. And okay, yeah, in a year, you're not selling it brand new in stores, but there's going to be a ton of them around that you'll still be able to get your hands on it and probably for $500 less than this new one, right?
This is what happened when the Mark III came out. I was like, wow, I'm going to hang on tight to my Mark II. I really like my camera even more now. And with the 6D, I feel the same way. Is that I don't see how it would fit into my workflow at that price. If it, like you said, if it was $1,200 or something like that, I could see it being a second camera body because I love full frame. I do love shooting with a full frame camera.
Well, and that was my exact thought was that when I heard about it, I was like, oh great, if they're gonna make it as a step up from the entry level Rebels, I'm like, oh perfect, it'll probably be $1,200 or $1,300, and that's something I could see myself getting because I'd like to move to full frame, but not at that price. In which case, I'd rather just buy an old, like an older whatever 8 megapixel Canon classic, right? Like the 1D or whatever. Is it the one? Which one's the classic? The old one.
The 5D Mark I.
Yeah, that's like you can find them for like used on Craigslist for like $700 or $800, and there's a full frame with 8 megapixels.
Yep, I think they're 12 megapixels, but it was 10. We're splitting hairs.
Yeah. It might be 10. Regardless, I think it's 10. Yeah,
much lower, but they do take great photos. So So there's that. Okay, what'd you shoot this week?
I shot.
That did not sound conversational at all.
No, I shot a few pictures of my son in the hospital, as we discussed. And because we had those few days, there were some days where I did not take pictures at all. Uh-huh. And then I took a couple of pictures. Actually, the pictures I took were of the kids getting their, well, not getting them, but wearing their newly purchased Halloween costumes.
Right.
So yeah, we did that. We did a little kind of a little photo shoot just in front of the wall.
Are they getting ready for Halloween already?
Well, all the Halloween stuff is out, and so right. we thought, because Jack was just coming off of a few days in the hospital, that we would keep them low profile for a day. So we took them on a drive to Bellingham, which is in Washington, as you know.
Right, and, Seattle Junior.
Yeah, Seattle Junior. But we just wanted to keep them, keep Jack, anyways, from running around one day. So we drove out there and then let them pick costumes and then came back and put on the costumes and stuff. So Jack picked the Hulk, the Incredible Hulk. He's big into all things green and all things superhero. So natural mm-hmm. choice. And Sarah picked Strawberry Shortcake because
that's still a thing.
Yeah, she is all into all things girly. So she was choosing between a Barbie costume and Strawberry Shortcake. Kind of happy with Strawberry Shortcake.
Good call.
Yeah, so there you go. So I took a few pictures of that, and that's it. That's all the pictures I've taken other than the photo challenge, which we'll get to later.
I did very little myself. This was a week, and you know the weather's been good, so there's no real excuse. But I've honestly spent most of my time in post-production for video stuff. Nothing interesting, so I won't go into detail on it, but I just had to finish some projects for some clients. So that kind of cuts into my taking pictures time.
Yes.
We did have a few of the, I say Emily's friends, but they're her friends because we decided.
Yeah.
You know, like she hasn't gone and made her own friends.
The parents are friends.
Yeah. Well, yeah, something like that. So some of those kids came over the other day and were running around out in the backyard there. And so I took some pictures of that, but not very many. But the only thing I wanted to mention about that is it was a bit of a waiting game. I had to be patient. Like this time of year, you kind of, because the clouds can come and go. Like it's generally not, you know, socked in. In our Indian summer, it's not always socked in weather, right?
Yes.
And so therefore, what I find is like you alter between harsh sun and then you get cloud cover. And this time of year, I noticed that, you know, when the clouds come, things tend to look a little bit blue. The shade looks a little bit bluer and that. So ultimately, the takeaway here was that I had to just wait patiently. And I only took pictures when the sun was behind a cloud.
Okay.
Otherwise, it was just too harsh and no fun in the middle of the day.
Have you seen the show Parenthood?
No.
Not the movie. I think there's a movie with Steve Martin or something, but there's a television program that's just started the second season called Parenthood.
Okay.
The reason I bring it up is Ray Romano is a guest star on it. I guess he's going to be a reoccurring character for a few episodes. But anyways, he plays a photographer in the show. And in the first episode, I think the title of the episode was something like Family Portrait. And I have seen a few episodes of the show. It's kind of a family drama thing. But anyways, my wife loves the show and said, hey, you should check this out because there's a whole little photography component to this episode. And it was quite funny because it was just like he was just dropping photography references left, right, and center, and he goes out on a little shoot and, you know, he's talking up this lens and that lens and, you know, grab the bounce and get the Hasselblad ready. And I just thought it was pretty comical. Like it seems so artificial coming from Ray Romano and just even the tone of his voice, but I would check it out for a chuckle. So the first episode of season 2 of Parenthood with Ray Romano as the photographer.
I'm willing to guess they're on like season 4 right now, but is it can't be season 2, is it?
I don't know, man. I think it's they're only on season 2.
Maybe it is
season 4. Maybe I have no idea. I just know that this is the second this is the first episode of this season. It just started. That was the Family Portrait episode with Ray Romano.
I'll check it out.
Yeah, it's worth a chuckle, I think.
I'll check it out on Hulu or something good like that.
Yeah.
Great. This week's challenge.
Remind us what it was.
It was tied in from last week because we talked about backgrounds.
Right.
And so this week's challenge was to take a picture with a background.
Okay.
And then retake the picture, make a couple adjustments, retake the picture with a far less meh background.
Okay.
The only trouble is I couldn't spell meh So I just said bad background.
Okay. Are you going to go first, or am I going to go first?
You decide. You decide who we're talking about first.
I don't know. I don't have a preference.
Pick a horse, Schwartz.
Okay, let's talk about mine first.
Done. Okay, good. By the way, pick a horse, Schwartz. Good luck saying that five times fast. That was not easy.
Did you just call my wife a horse?
Yes.
Okay.
No. Like a racehorse, though.
Okay. Well, that's
like
fine.
Like the Black Stallion or Black Beauty or something. Something good like that.
Okay.
Okay. Let's talk about yours.
Okay. So I took a picture of my wife on the couch, and okay, so just let me preface this by saying I did see your photo challenge first, and I thought, okay, you've covered that base, because you know that was my first intention, was to just blur out the background, and then I thought, oh no, you've already done that, so now I better do something different. So I thought, okay, I'm going to take an indoor picture. So this is the kind of picture that I take inside the house. I mean, it's a pretty neutral background, and my wife's sitting on the couch, and I thought, okay, well, how can I make this different to take away the background? Well, the first thing when I look at the picture A, which is kind of a landscape style orientation of a photo, is that I notice on her the couch cushion on camera left or her right is very distracting and very well lit, and so right. I thought okay, how can I change that quickly to make that less distracting in the picture? So what I did was I changed the orientation to a portrait style picture, and then I switched the light to her other side. I don't know if you caught that, but I switched the light to the other side because I knew that the shadow would then get rid of that couch cushion altogether, and then moving in on the landscape style, I could crop out the sort of couch on the other side. So now I'm just left with the wall, and then I added one more little touch. I took a flash and I basically shot it through a vase that I found on the kitchen, not in the kitchen, on the dining room table, and get a little bit of a light pattern there. I could have made it more more pronounced, but I thought it'll also be potentially more distracting. So you can see it a little bit on the wall above her head. So that's kind of how I dealt with the meh background.
Right. Okay.
Go for it. Have at her.
This one's tough because I really like your wife, and I don't want me ripping on your photo to be misconstrued as directed at your wife.
Okay. Okay.
So I'm just going to sit this one out.
You're just going to what?
I'm just going to sit this one out.
Okay. All right.
No. This is fine. The background is definitely slightly more interesting.
Yeah.
If that's what we're talking about, there's other issues with the photo that, you know, we've probably could address, but that wasn't the topic.
No. So, this is the photo. This is also, keep in mind, my wife in her pajamas not really wanting to be a part of this.
Yeah, no, the look on her face says that.
Yeah. So
I recognize that because I'm also married, and my wife had the same situation comes up where she's just like, really? Like, I haven't done my makeup. I haven't combed my hair, you know?
Yeah.
Like that kind of thing. And that's important to women, apparently.
Yeah. Stuff like that's sometimes important. So just focus on the background and nothing else.
Okay. And the background. Yeah, it's fine. It's definitely better because before it was, you know, plain.
Yes.
You're right. It was distracting. The pillow was distracting. The only thing that I would say that would make this better, make the background better, is I would have pulled your wife out from the background.
Yes.
Other adjustments you made are bang on. That's very helpful. I don't even mind the headroom here because composition-wise, this is not a standard picture with her being in the center, but I don't care. It looks fine to me.
Yeah.
I'm not hard. I don't play hard and fast by those rules. My only thing would be was pull her out a few feet or a couple of meters, and therefore it would sort of be more about her and the background would kind of go out of focus a little bit and that would be it.
Believe it or not, I did pull the whole couch out by about 5 feet.
Really?
Yeah. So I did exactly that, but I don't know that it necessarily reveals itself in the photo. But
no, yeah, it
I did exactly that, yeah.
And this is what we sort of talked about last week, is that by not having any middle ground, you sort of steal all the depth. Like, now that I look at it, I guess I can sort of see it because of what you're describing. I never would have guessed had you not told me about this picture.
Yeah.
But I'm guessing that means you put the vase behind the couch.
Yeah.
So that therefore you would have to have room. So that makes sense now when you tell me what you did, that you pulled it out, but not having any visual clues sort of kills the whole idea of depth in this picture.
Yeah, and I really wasn't thinking about it as far as depth. I was really just thinking about it as far as positioning the vase and the flash and to make the light on the wall. That's why I needed to pull it out, because I'm shooting it kind of more directly on, that it really didn't matter from a depth standpoint.
Okay. Now, do you want some homework or not? I will do it with you if you say yes.
How much labor is required on my part before I decide?
You got to snap this photo again.
Okay. So what's the add-on?
Well, first of all, make it better, but also make it so we understand the depth of the picture.
Okay.
Somehow, I mean, you do the same basic setting, location-wise. I mean. And make it so that there is some sort of depth in the picture. And I will do the same. I will do a somewhat similar situation with my wife. And I have something specific in mind that I'm a fan of. And we'll compare next week.
Okay.
A bonus challenge.
All right.
Okay. Overall, not a failure. I got to tell you. You've taken better pictures.
Oh, no question. Yeah. I, by no means did I, you know, consider this a raving success, but it was an effort. I did put in some effort to try to do this. It just didn't turn out exactly as I had hoped, let's say that much.
That's why we're here.
Yes.
That's exactly why we're here. Now, one other tip that has nothing to do with what we talked about, just for your wife and everybody else's sake, next time move the key light a little higher, I think.
Yeah, and you know what? I did have other pictures with the key light in different positions that are better pictures on her face, but then the key light was wiping out the effect of the background, and because the challenge was more about the background, I went with the key light at a much more odd angle. So that's the reasoning for why the key light is where it is that I was trying to get the key light off of the wall, and
right. Yeah,
logistics in my living room, I don't have a ton of space to deal with. So yeah.
What is your key light?
A light and an umbrella.
Okay. What kind of an umbrella?
A shoot through.
Shoot through or shoot into?
Shoot through.
Shoot through.
Yeah.
Cause generally that's what my suggestion was going to be, was to do it in a shoot through, because you can generally get the umbrella much, much closer, which means less fall off or more fall off, and it doesn't show up on the back wall.
Yeah, this light is actually pretty close, but again, the setup of my living room was a bit of an issue. So
okay,
I could only get it so close.
Okay. In addition, before you shoot this homework again,
okay,
off the air, I'm going to show you an awesome tip, like one of my favorite little moves. For this exact situation.
Okay.
And I say off the air because we're going to share it down the line. It's too much information at this one juncture.
Okay.
So remind me off the air and I'll tell you. And then we'll introduce it later on. Okay. My photo.
Your photo.
We're done with yours, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I didn't want to just skip ahead if we're not done.
No. Go ahead.
Okay. So mine, Laura Dern came by the house. Don't know. Nope. Laura Dern?
No, I don't.
The actress?
No, I know the name, but I can't put a face to it.
Oh, okay.
Does she look like this?
No, nothing. No, she's a brunette, heavyset lady. No, of course. I think she looks like this. With curly hair, though.
Okay.
Maybe she doesn't look like Laura Dern. Maybe everyone else can tell me she doesn't look like Laura Dern. I don't know. Anyways.
A little bit more like Claire Danes, I'm going to say.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, yeah, that's good call. Anyway, this is on the day that when my wife's friends came by with their kids.
Yeah.
And so in an effort to not, now this is in no way a dig at you, but I tend to, my wife is my subject more often than not. And so I was like, oh, super, someone else is going to come by. Maybe I'll force them to be the subject of the picture this week.
Okay.
So I was excited by that. And I've taken pictures for them before. Like I've done, I shot pictures for her husband, like a paid gig. So she was game.
Okay.
So went outside, waited till the clouds covered the sun, as we talked about.
Yeah.
And I fired this one off. Not terrible. I don't think this one's a horrible photo. Like, you know, like the whole idea was a bad background, but there's nothing growing out of her head. What do you tell me? Tell me about this picture.
I don't know. It's nothing that I would keep.
No, but it, like, I mean, you wouldn't stab me in the face with a pencil for taking it, right?
No.
So I don't think it's horrible.
No, it's not. But
it's not going to go in my Hall of Fame.
No.
No. So that was the whole point. So it was snapped away, and then, boom, we cut to the close-up headshot. Picture number two.
Right.
Okay. What are your thoughts?
It's a much better photo.
Okay. The end. All right, moving on.
Yeah, I don't have anything really else to say, I don't think. I think this is, again, this is the easy move. I think I want to say this is kind of what we would have expected for me to do. This is, you said you were going to put more of an effort in and a little bit of a cop-out. That's all I got to call you on, is a little bit of a cop-out.
Are we talking about the same picture?
No, it's a good picture. I don't doubt it. But in terms of manipulating the background, this from the very beginning was the easy 2-second move.
Which was kind of the point of our show last week.
I guess so. I thought you'd been making this point for a couple of weeks about how much more effort you were going to put into things. And I tried to put effort in to do something different than the obvious. And I mean, I think from your explanation last week, I think everyone could understand that, yeah, sure, you know, you can zoom in and you can blur the background out. That's the easy move. So you to go ahead and do that is a bit insulting to our listeners, I think.
Wow. First of all, you're way off, because that's not all that I did. There was more.
What else did you do?
Oh, there was five or six different things I did here.
Okay, go through them.
No, you bring up a good point that we're actually going to talk about in a future episode, is the concept of ROI, return on investment. Because that's a big thing. Like, you can end up spending an awful long time trying, you know, futzing around with lights and this and that, and not get a, you know, and get a worse effect than you would have if you'd just done it properly.
Are you going to tell us how to lose weight again?
Are you done? Okay.
No, sorry. Go ahead.
No.
Return on investment.
What I'm saying, yeah, return. It's how you put your money in. No, it's your time investment is what I'm talking about.
Okay.
So for this one, no, I did not phone it in. I take exception to that comment, because that's not what happened.
Okay.
So first of all, I waited until the sun was, we had to sit and wait until the sun was in the right spot behind the clouds.
Okay.
That was important to me, because it was kind of like that light, like the white clouds, the light ones. So it would be in and out, in and out. And so we're getting, you know, changes in not only exposure, but just the harshness of the light. You know, so we waited until it was a nice light, and then I snapped it. And the time between these two pictures, probably, I'm going to say, actually less than 30 seconds. Can you say that about your photos?
I can't say that.
No. That was the issue. That was the point of me doing this, is that we can make a simple change, do it quickly. So here's what I did. Obviously, first of all, I moved the subject. I didn't like her, you know, with those trees all immediately in her background. Yeah. So I had her basically take step three feet backwards, like to the camera right.
Okay.
To be out of those trees. So there were more trees, but they were off in the background. Okay. Very, very far. So a huge difference in that. Next, I moved my position. So I moved my feet. I walked over, changed the angle slightly so that we were away from those trees.
Okay.
Okay. Also, I brought my $3 plastic footstool that I purchased at the hardware store so that I could stand up and shoot down a little bit.
Okay.
To change the angle that way. So that, that brought in a little bit different background there. I shot this with my 70 to 200 lens. Both pictures were with the 70 to 200.
Yeah.
The first one was 70 millimeters at f11. So I went and changed that from f11 to f4. And by counting clicks, I set the corresponding shutter speed.
Okay.
To get the same exposure. And then I zoomed in from 70 to 200. And finally, I went portrait aspect ratio to land to... No, sorry. I went to portrait from landscape to focus on her and filled the frame with her face and shoulders in order to basically get rid of the background.
Okay.
So I did at least, I think that's six different moves. So I submit that I did not phone it in. I okay. positioned her carefully so that you can see on her left shoulder, we have a nice sort of backlight coming from the sun. That's the sun peeking through the clouds. And so we have a nice backlight, but yet no fill on her face. That's just, this is 100% ambient light.
Okay.
No flash or anything like that. No bounce. And the point is you can make this change in under 30 seconds.
Right.
There you go.
Yeah, I could have done that.
Yet you didn't. Yeah.
That's why you did your photo on Tuesday. And you're like, oh, great. Now I've covered this base, and Schwartz will have to come up with something more creative.
Oh, this week, don't worry. This week, I won't show you till the last second.
Okay.
When we do that. So,
I appreciate that.
In terms of winners and losers, I think we all can tell, even though you're sandbagging here, that I'm the big winner. The big loser, probably.
Okay. Well, I'll give you this one. So now you're up to, I don't know, it's probably 77-3 or something.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, for me?
Yeah.
77?
Yeah, yeah, no, that sounds awesome. Yeah, that sounds very accurate.
Yeah.
And also, I think one of the main reasons, like main objectives here, is I would like to do something that is everybody can you can approach this no matter what equipment you have. So whether you right. you know, like, I don't want to make this too overcomplicated if it doesn't need to be. Because I couldn't have taken this shot any better if I had spent an hour lighting it. It would not look as good.
Maybe you could have. You don't know.
The only thing in retrospect that I wish I had done, but it would have required a second person, or, well, in this case, I guess a third person, I would have liked to have had just a hint of bounce on her right cheek.
Yeah.
And not even for the cheek, more so just because it would have likely introduced a nice catch light in her eye.
Right.
That would be the only thing, a little pop there would be good.
Well, so, there you go.
There you go. Okay, so this week's topic, why Adam is second place. Second best. First loser, though. That's good. Right. You know,
do we still have time for a topic, or are we shooting for another marathon here?
Oh, we're looking at the time. Oh, wow.
Yeah. This time it's you, Talkie Talkerson.
Yeah, but that's normal. All right. This week's topic is sharpening.
Sharpen up your game.
So what that means is, since we're running out of time, and it's not like we have a hard and fast out, it's just people's attention spans that we're dealing with.
Including mine.
Including especially yours.
Yeah.
So the main issue is it's not like I think, oh, people have short attention spans. I just don't think that we're that interesting.
Right.
So, sharpening. Do you sharpen?
Not really.
No, you don't. That's why we're bringing it up.
Yeah, no, I don't. I used to, but now I don't.
So my first note was, hey, what is sharpening? Now, I thought we'd get into the whole physical, technical stuff about what happens with sharpening and blah, 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 but I think we just skip that now.
Okay.
Because, you know, running on, short on time, it's just all the technical mumbo-jumbo that you can Google if you want. Increasing contrast. That's it. Around the pixels. That's it. Go check that out. Why do you sharpen?
I guess it makes your pictures potentially look better.
Potentially, but there is one issue specific to digital photography that quote-unquote requires sharpening.
What's that?
Bayer interpolation.
I don't know what that means.
Yeah, I know. You know Bayer, like the guys who make aspirin?
Yes.
Yeah, I think it has something to do with that. So Google that as well.
Okay.
it's, again, this is more technical stuff. So I vote we kind of power through this. I do know how it all works, and I don't know if everybody wants to know. If anyone wants to know, send a question, and we'll answer it, or you can Google it. But generally, what happens on your sensor is that a pixel is not a pixel. Not all pixels are created equally. Generally, it's a cluster of four. Two of the pixels will be green, one will be red, one will be blue. And in order to get the colors in the right spot, there is a filter in front of that sort of splits everything up.
Okay.
And causes a slight sort of, I wouldn't say blur, but it takes away a little bit of the sharpness. Okay, so when you take a picture, like in with your camera, in JPEG mode, right, your camera corrects for that and then adds a little bit of digital sharp post-production sharpening to sort of, you know, to net that out to zero, that effect.
Okay.
Okay, but at this point in the show, you're probably shooting raw. I'm shooting raw. Adam's shooting raw. There's no sharpening added. So you have that little bit of a little bit of unsharpness, which I don't even want to say unsharp because that's going to come up later. So what ends up happening when you bring it through your post-production software, whether it be Aperture, Lightroom, or the camera, the stuff that's included with the camera, they will tend to add a little bit of a default sharpen to make up for that bare interpolation.
Right.
Okay. From there, do you want to sharpen more?
I don't.
How come?
I don't know. Since I've gotten lenses that are sharper, doesn't seem like I need to.
Wow. Someone just skipped ahead.
Oh, but good that's for you. That's what basically happened. I used to shoot with lenses, like, you know, the kit lens, for example, that comes with your a lot of the lower end Canon Rebel cameras, the 18-55, whatever it is, the variable one, isn't very sharp unless you're stopped down to maybe f/8. Mm-hmm. So it does definitely look like it needs to add some sharpening, or even the Canon 50mm 1.8, again, until you stop it right down, isn't super sharp at the more wide open apertures. So again, that's where I found it needed sharpening. But using, you know, the nicer, sharper lenses, and definitely that 70-200 f/4 is ridiculously sharp. Mm-hmm. And I just don't find that it requires it.
Right. I agree. I went through a phase where, I mean, at first I would just shoot and I was happy with everything. And then I kind of got into sharpening. And like anything else with digital photography, you know, you sort of discover something new and then you run with it. You know,
right.
Like, you know, you're the guy with the hammer and then all of a sudden everything looks like a nail. And so I was sharpening everything.
Right.
And even like stuff I would get prints made or whatever, I found that... I got burned on a few that I over-sharpened and paid the price, and you can really tell, and not too happy with the pictures because of it.
Yeah.
Okay, so first of all, how do you sharpen? Well, first off, I'll answer the first part of the question. If you're shooting JPEG, your camera's going to take care of it for you.
Okay.
Okay, it's going to... there's going to be a setting in the camera. You can adjust the level of sharpness that's added. Now, when you shoot JPEG, it's fired right in there. That's the end of that. It's sharp. If you have it cranked all the way up to 7 or whatever the highest is, and you look at your JPEG, that's it. You can't make it less, really. That's your image now.
Okay.
Okay. So if you're shooting RAW, what are the different ways to sharpen?
Well, I use the Aperture software, and there's Once you bring the files in, there's a number of different ways. There's kind of an edge sharpening slider, and there's a separate sharpening slider. I think there's a couple on there. And again, they all do a slightly different kind of sharpening. I don't know if you can potentially explain what the difference is between them. But yeah, there's sliders, just the way we can adjust white balance and everything else to do with the raw file. There's sliders for sharpening.
Right. I wish I could explain all the differences. I don't know. I think it is hocus pocus, a lot of it. Now, I think there's three different ones, sharpening parameters in Aperture. Now, one is the sort of the default sharpening that's added to the raw file.
Yeah.
Now, I don't touch that. I just trust that they have it dialed in. Aperture knows that I shot my picture with a 5D Mark II. It has an idea of what the general sharpening should be. And I just leave that. I don't never mess with that. Now, what I used to do is I used to add an edge sharpening. I leave the sharpen tool alone. Never use it. For a long time, I started using the edge sharpen, which if you're going to sharpen, that's kind of what you want to do. You want to sharpen up those edges.
Right.
So I would mess with that one. And a lot of that started when I was shooting with my 17-85 lens, which similar to the 18-55 is... It's a great lens. It's not as sharp as it could be. And so I found that I would add a little bit of sharpening, except here's the thing. When do you sharpen?
I don't know.
This is the thing. This is the most important part of sharpening, is when you do it. The best part time to do it is after you've resized.
Okay.
You don't want to sharpen and then resize, because now you're going to introduce a little bit of softness back into the image. And then likely have to resharpen.
Okay, so resize first.
Right.
And then sharpen.
So for me, if I'm going to resize something and use it on the web or whatever we're going to do, I want to do the sharpening last. If I apply the sharpening and then export it from Aperture as a small file, I'm resizing after sharpening, right?
Right.
So I don't like that. I don't like the results. So I find what I do is I send it out of Aperture, resize it on the way out, and then I bring it into Photoshop Elements and sharpen there.
Okay.
So that's the very last step. So I find it a little bit cumbersome, so I'm not a fan of doing it, but there are times that I want to do it, and in that case, how do you do it? Have you ever sharpened in Photoshop Elements?
I have, using parameters that you instructed me to use, so why don't you go ahead and let us know what those are?
You
knew the answer to that already. You were asking me a question that you knew the answer to.
Yes, I was.
Okay.
The tool I use in Photoshop and Photoshop Elements is the one that's counterintuitively named Unsharp Mask.
Right.
And so basically, if I'm going to resize something for the web, let's say I'm going to use 800 pixels across the big side, I'm going to then fire up the Unsharp Mask, enter the parameters of, you can dial in three different things, the percentage, radius.
Yeah, radius is one of them, yeah.
And then I forget the last one. You season those to taste. Generally, I do about 125 to 150%, a radius of 0.3, and then whatever the last one is, you dial it into what you like. You wouldn't happen to have those parameters that I gave you on hand, would you?
No. Let me just see, because they're probably the default settings in my Photoshop. So,
right.
Yeah. So keep talking, and I'll open a file, and I'll see what comes up.
Yeah, that's how we'll do it. No, so I end up using the same settings all the time myself. So it's not.
So I have the amount is in percentage, as I have it as 139. So I think you said 125 to 150. So we're right in there. The radius is for me 0.4 pixels, and the last one is threshold, which is measured in levels, and I have it set to zero.
Right. Okay.
Whatever threshold means.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know the terms exactly. I my default's 135, so again, right in that zone. I tend to, I mean, once in a while I'll go to a radius of 0.5 pixels. It depends. Generally, I keep it at 0.2 or 0.3.
Okay.
And the threshold, again, I have it at zero. I don't know. I forget why. Doesn't matter why.
Just do it.
Do it. If you want it higher, set it higher. I'm not your boss.
So, I prefer to just set it on what Al says and then not think about it and not ask questions. Just accept it.
Right, right. That's where I go. And once in a while, you know, I'll dial in depending on what lens I use or what my subject is, I'll dial in a little bit. The point is I don't want it to be over sharpened.
Right.
Right. So yeah, that's how I do it. And generally now I don't sharpen at all though.
Okay. Why don't you?
I went through this whole phase where I saw everything being over sharp and I just decided I didn't want that. I wanted a certain little bit of softness into the image to make it somewhat real.
That's exactly what I think. I think that when it becomes too sharp, it starts to not look real.
Right. In fact, when I shoot all the video I shoot, the HD video I shoot on my 5D, I have the sharpness cranked all the way down as far as it'll go because it looks too good.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, you can always crank up the sharpness in post-production, but since we're not shooting a raw video, you're shooting, for lack of a better word, JPEG. It's not really, but I know. You can't really dial that in later. So I want to start with actually as soft an image as I can. And even then, it sometimes looks too sharp. I know it sounds a little counterintuitive, like we go to all these, you know, lengths to make this sharp images, but I make a big distinction between lens sharpness and digital sharpness. And your eye can generally tell. So and again, just to hit on the point that you made, the amount of sharpening you use will greatly depend on the quality of your lens. So that's also why neither one of us sharpen anymore.
Yeah, and I think that lens in particular is widely regarded as a ultra sharp lens. That 70-200 f/4 lens.
I highly recommend picking one up. So, yeah. What about selective sharpening? What if you don't want your entire image sharpened? Have you ever run into that?
No, that sounds like a lot of work.
I try
to avoid that.
It's not as bad as you think.
Okay.
Now, there's ways to do it. You can paint the sharpening on in areas. Like, if you want to do it in aperture, which, again, I don't. The only time that I would be able to sharpen before or after resizing would be if I'm exporting a full-resolution picture. And the only time I'm exporting a full-resolution picture is if I'm going to take it to the printer, and if that's the case, I don't want it sharpened, so I don't do it. If I were to do it, you could actually get a brush and just paint on the sharpening in the areas that you want.
Okay.
Okay? I don't do that. What I do have a really quick and dirty Photoshop trick for painting on sharpening. But for instance, can you imagine a situation where you would want selective sharpening?
Maybe just on someone's eyes or a portion of their face?
You are astute, my friend.
Okay.
That's exactly, and in fact, this week's photo challenge, my photo challenge, the second one, I sharpened her eyes.
Really?
Yeah. I will do that now and then, just if I really want the eyes to pop. And it's very, very subtle. But what I did was, as I exported my image, 800 pixels on the large side.
Yeah.
Bring it into Photoshop, create a second layer. Okay?
Yeah.
Sharpen the bottom layer, add the unsharp mask like we talked about with those parameters that we talked about.
Yeah.
And then on the top layer with the erase tool, just go and basically cut out her eyes. So if you don't have the bottom layer enabled, it looks really freaky, like one of those serial killer movies, like a poster or something.
Yeah.
Where they have the eyes cut out. But as soon as you enable the underneath layer, the sharpened layer, all you see through are her sharp eyes. And the rest of it is the standard soft image. Now, you'd have to look really close to see it, but you kind of know it's there. Your eye knows it's there. So it helps. It's a very minor help, but it helps.
Okay.
So there you go. That's my quick and dirty trick.
And how long does that take you to do?
Not very long at all. Like, it really, because you're not too worried about, like, you don't have to get in on a pixel level and you know, erase around her eyes. You just do it. It's just a quick little erase move, because if you're not bang on, it doesn't matter. Like, the image is the same. You'll never notice. It just depends right. where you want the sharpness to end. And I usually use, a feathered erase tool so that it kind of blends in.
Okay.
So you can't really tell.
Okay. No, that's. I think that's a good tip. I'm going to try it.
All right.
Except I don't sharpen, so.
Well, in this, sometimes you're going to want to. You're going to want to give this a try just to make, especially if you have a really nice catch light in the eyes. It can just double up that effect and make it really good. And because the rest of the picture isn't sharpened, it right. really, you can't tell. You don't, your eye doesn't think, oh, wow, this is over-sharpened. It just makes it pop.
Okay, I will try it.
Lastly, how do you sharpen an out of focus or like a blurry photo? What's the what? Give me tips for us.
Take a better photo.
You must have read the punchline. That's exactly no, where I was didn't going.
Because I don't have your show notes.
No, you didn't. You don't. That's exactly what I was saying. You can't sharpen an out of focus picture. I mean, unless you're shooting with that Lytro thing, and then maybe, but. If you shot a blurry picture, that's it. Live with it. You can sharpen it a little bit and get away with it, but it's not going to be the same as a in focus picture.
Right.
Not going to happen. That's there. You go. That's sharpening.
Great.
Challenge for next week. I got one for us.
Okay. Is it take a funny picture with the moon?
No.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay, moving on then.
This one is this one. All this one is called is with three you get egg roll.
What?
What? Isn't it self-explanatory?
No.
Okay, the actual movie is called With Six You Get Egg Roll, but it's based on a Doris Day movie. That's what made me think of it. But I didn't want to do six. I want to do three and skip the egg roll. That's not really part of it. I want you to from the last. Let's call it. 20 episodes.
Okay.
I want you to pick three things that we've talked about and incorporate them into one image.
Okay.
Because this is what I've noticed I've been doing.
Homework, because I don't remember what we talked about for 20 episodes.
Yeah, luckily we have very simple, you know,
I remember you summaries. Talked about how to lose weight. That was a couple episodes ago.
Good. Incorporate that in. Really, I meant photo tips, but... But you know, but what got me thinking about this one is that part of when I was saying like you know I'm phoning it in and with my challenge photos, which this right. week I didn't do. P.S.
Right.
But oftentimes I end up focusing on the one aspect, the one thing that the challenge is about, and I don't incorporate a lot of the other ones, like a lot of the other things that we've learned, and that's kind of part of the deal is to bring everything together so that. You've built this giant base of knowledge. How do you incorporate all of it?
Okay, I'm going to incorporate all of it.
Now, there are certain basic things that you automatically do at this point. I think you automatically do. Like, I don't think you think about composition much anymore.
No.
Like, basic. I don't mean when you're building a whole thing, but if you're just taking a quick close-up of somebody, I don't even consider... It's more of just a muscle memory at this point. But there are other aspects that you have to think about, and that sometimes you don't incorporate. So that this week, pick three things from the last 20 episodes and make a photo out of it.
Okay, I'm going to do that.
And you know what? Added challenge.
Oh no.
Well, I don't think I like your attitude. The added challenge is we're not going to tell each other which three things we did.
Okay.
The challenge will be the other person has to guess which episodes they were.
Oh, that sounds like a great idea.
Yeah, no. Very, I am very excited by the prospect of doing that.
No, I'm seriously, it's a fantastic idea.
Great.
Yeah.
Reminder before we get into your website, my website, Outdoor Photography Canada magazine. This is your last opportunity. We're not going to talk about it next week because next week will be October.
Time is running out.
Time is running out for you to sign up. Next week, all we're going to do is make fun of you for not doing it. So
yeah,
there's that. The good folks.
We're going to be wearing the t-shirts that say we signed up.
Oh, I'm going to be wearing my A-team shirt. I'm getting Perfect. That. I'm getting those made up. So sign up. Go over to Outdoor Photography Canada magazine. Sign up for your extra 20% off. Remember to use the promo code OPCHOSERS. So, Adam, where can people find all your wonderful photos?
SchwartzChronicles.com.
Do you want me to try that again, less condescending?
No, I didn't feel as though it was condescending.
Oh, it was.
Did I sound super excited when I said it?
You did. You sounded fine, but it was me. I was actually being condescending.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Surprise, surprise.
SchwartzChronicles.com, and you can find
and your
mine.
Stuff.
Oh, yeah. Okay, you intro mine.
Yeah, and Alan, where can we find your stuff?
Hey, good question, Adam. AlanAttridge.com, and the two of us are at the Two Hosers. Sorry, not the Two Hosers. I do that every once in a while. TwoHosers.com, where you can find our Twitter, other info. Everything's there, TwoHosers.com.
And anybody who listens to this podcast, don't grab the A-team spelled EHTEAM.com domain name before we can get it.
Right. I guess I better grab that before this airs. Good. Yet more work for me to do. I'm going to check that out. The A-team. The A-team, yeah. Or A-team.com?
I think, yeah, you'd probably need the just because the original A-team had the there, right?
I'm going to go grab that right now just in case.
Yeah, you never know, right?
If it's up. All right, until next week, get out there and make better photos.